Hello and welcome to Naboy, where we seek to demystify the illusion of aging through timeless wisdom. From the wellspring of vitality, we awaken to our boundless inner potential. Consciousness expands, transcending mere biology. This is not a journey of isolation, but one of divine union. Heart-centered love energy becomes the compass guiding us towards the infinite self and far beyond. I am your host, Peter Wynn. Thank you for joining me. Welcome and greetings, my dearest friends. I do, as always, sincerely hope that I am finding you all in good health and high spirits. Not that it is easy, I'm sure you would say, to be so at this time. So there we are, dear friends, the sound of an Italian coffee bar. Ah, lovely moments indeed, having a coffee, a brioche, and a lovely chat with dear friends or family. These days, however, I am myself having coffee with the universe. Imagine that. Every weekday morning, from Monday to Friday, via my inbox. These are very short, inspirational, enlightening messages. I have to say, though, that I do find them to be very clever, and one such message this week read, "Yep, right now, let's do it together. Breathe in, hold it, hold it, hold it a bit longer, and then gently breathe out a little more. There's still some air in there. Welcome back." By the way, if you think you don't have time for this, that's when you could use it the most. Think about that, dear friends. That's when you could use it the most. It's so true, isn't it? Ensnaring oneself in the mindset of, "I don't have time." Ah, but you see, you do have time. You simply perhaps choose to spend it on things that do not nourish your spirit, your body, or your mind. So do yourself a big favour. Break yourself free and prioritise what matters most to your health, to your well-being, and let go of the nonsense. What seems like no time is actually misplaced energy. Reclaim it and do not allow yourself to be trapped by time. Discover for yourself the sacred economies of simplicity. So tell me, dear friends, how will you spend your limited energies today?
Hey diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such fun, and the dish ran away with the spoon.
Hey diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such fun, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Whilst this nursery rhyme, Hey Diddle Diddle, or Hey Little Didell, as it was originally known as, may have its origin in historical satire, occult symbolism, or even psychological conditioning of children. Today, however, dear friends, let us isolate its most profound components, the cat and the cow, and explore their dual significance in a modern discourse on balance, transformation, and harmony. Just as these two entities were once entangled in rhyme, so too do they reflect opposing yet complementary forces in yoga philosophy. In these past few months, I chanced upon a yoga posture of a profound efficacy, the cat-cow pose. Although Tai Chi and Qigong are my daily regimen, which are truly rejuvenating disciplines, and ones that I really do enjoy, the cat-cow pose, with its dual motion of inhalation and exhalation, expansion and contraction, immediately harmonized and deeply resonated with my being, which I practice now every day as an addition to my Tai Chi and Qigong. I invoke the cat-cow pose first thing in the morning to loosen myself up for the day ahead after a night of lying in bed. And again, last thing in the evening, releasing any tensions that may have accumulated throughout the day. It only takes a few moments, but I have found its benefits to be truly stupendous. The cat-cow pose is one of the most fundamental yet profound yoga movements, particularly for spinal health, flexibility and stress relief. Unlike passive stretching exercises, cat-cow dynamically engages core muscles, improves circulation and fosters mindful awareness, making it an ideal daily practice for individuals seeking to enhance physical well-being while cultivating mental clarity, and it will leave you feeling revitalized and present. And while on the topic of yoga, I would like to bring to your attention the inspirational story of a remarkable woman, a centenarian, yoga master and longevity icon, Charlotte Chopin, a 103-year-old active yoga teacher in France, who has been teaching yoga for over 40 years in Loret, a rural town in the Loire region of France. Chopin first started learning yoga at 50 and has kept a regular practice since then. Not really as a part of her fitness regime, but as a part of her life. In 1982, after 10 years of practicing, Chopin started teaching yoga. She holds classes 3 times a week out of a former police station. Miss Chopin's mantra for life is simple: finding joy in little things. A plaque on a cabinet in her living room reads, "Happiness is not about having everything you want, but loving what you have." She enjoys the yoga practices she does and finds happiness in little things. So there you have it, dear friends. Aging gracefully while staying active, moving with ease and thriving. Connecting nicely with our discussion above about "I don't have time" and the discovery of the sacred economies of simplicity. That is the wondrous and beautiful sound of the water harp, Sui Kinkutsu. Sui Kinkutsu is said to be an idea developed by Japanese gardeners in the Edo period from 1603 to 1867. And it is often found in traditional Japanese gardens, especially in tea ceremony gardens and the older temple gardens. Listening to that calming, beautiful sound, I humorously ask you, dear friends, have you ever by chance heard the sound of a lotus flower blooming? Have you? I'll be very honest with you and tell you straight up that I, for one, have not. As I am sure you have not either. The Vietnamese revere the lotus, where it is said that each morning at dawn, the flowers reopen their petals, and if you listen very carefully, you can hear them open. It sounds like a great pop. Japanese scholar and eco-humanitarian activist Kumi Kato, professor at Wakayama University, tells the wonderful story of the sound of the lotus blossoms. One early morning in early summer, during the early Showa period, a group of people gathered near a pond in a central parkland to listen to the sound of a lotus flower opening. As the sonic frequency of the lotus opening, 9 to 16 hertz, is much lower than the normal frequency range of 20 to 20,000 hertz of human capability, it was clearly impossible for humans to actually hear the sound of the blooming. The gathering, however, was attended by people who brought to the event their aesthetic appreciation of the lotus flower's subtle colour, the softness of the petals, the reflection on the water, the pleasant experience of the early morning breeze, and the fact that the flower opens for only 4 days. In fact, it opens only for a few short hours in the early morning, and on the 4th day, the petals fall, ending the flower's short life. Lotus flowers in Buddhism are regarded as sacred, and the sweet fragrance wafting in the gentle breeze is considered heavenly. What a beautiful evocative passage. And the Venerable Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche said, "In Tibetan Buddhism, the sound of a lotus blooming is described as a silent symphony, a call to awaken from spiritual sleep." And why I mention this, dear friends, is that synchronistically, as I was concluding a piece of writing this past week, where in the final section I was pondering a suitable image that would represent joy and celebration, when out of nowhere didn't I have one of those download moments, and the lotus flower popped into my mind. And interestingly too, even synchronistically, this correlates with an experience I had some time ago when I was an overnight guest with some dear friends in the vicinity of the city of Modena, in the region of Emilia-Romagna. It was a most wondrous and beautiful evening. The company, the food, the wine were all quite exquisite. Really lovely. A lovely, lovely evening. I stayed in the daughter's room, who had by then flown the nest and set up her own home. But the room had been preserved as if the daughter was still present. An altar to frozen time. Nothing, it seemed to me, had been touched, nor moved, nor removed. Roma's football heroes posters hung on the wall. The study desk and chair with shelves above supporting a solitary lamp. A large humorous poster of a cat and a mouse snoozing together in a hammock. Inspirational quotes placed strategically on the wall around the study table. And many more such items that would sum up the average teenager's bedroom, wouldn't you think? But I remember sensing a wonderful energy within the room. It was an energy that lifted and inspired me. Extremely calming. There was a calendar at eye level as you sat on the chair, just above the desk. And it had a picture of a blooming lotus flower. I took a photo of this picture, and never would I have thought then that I would be using this very same photo for my piece of writing and as a heading image for this broadcast. Incredible, incredible. The lotus holds great significance not only in Buddhism, but also in Hinduism and Jainism. In Buddhism, the flower can represent the spiritual journey towards purity, resilience, and spiritual ascension. It is one of the most profound symbols in Buddhist teachings. Whilst often misperceived as merely a beautiful bloom, this sacred plant embodies deep spiritual truths that have shaped Buddhist philosophy for over 2,500 years. Jainism's lotus philosophy, rising above suffering through non-attachment and purity. The lotus, you see, grows in murky, muddy, stagnant waters. A metaphor for human experience in a world filled with suffering, ignorance, and craving. Yet despite its roots embedded in filth, the lotus rises above the surface to bloom into one of nature's most exquisite flowers. The plant's leaves remain untouched by the mud, symbolizing how an enlightened mind remains unspoiled by worldly attachments. even when immersed in human suffering. Aligning with Jainism's core teaching, you are not the mud, you are the lotus. Whilst Hinduism's lotus is a profound philosophical symbol representing the intersection of creation, Brahman, destruction, Rudra, and transcendence, Vishnu. The higher self rises above the muck. A call to cultivate a spiritual discipline amid digital and physical decay. The lotus's ability to grow in contaminated water mirrors how truth-seeking individuals can thrive in a corrupt system. Hinduism's lotus is not just an aesthetic or spiritual metaphor. It is a living philosophy of creation, destruction, and transcendence, rooted in the belief that divine consciousness pervades all existence. Just as a lotus blooms, regardless of its environment, individuals can cultivate inner purity through right living, right speech, right intention. Mirroring the Buddhist concept of non-self, the idea that one's true nature is pure consciousness, not contaminated by external circumstances. The lotus undergoes a dramatic transformation, emerging from darkness into light, a process that aligns with Buddhist practices of meditation, mindfulness, and moral discipline. The root's descent represents the initial plunge into ignorance, where one is unaware of the nature of suffering. The stem's rise mirrors the path to wisdom through study, reflection, and ethical conduct. The blossoming symbolizes enlightenment, when one realizes the Four Noble Truths and achieves liberation from samsara, the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Unlike many plants that would wilt in such an environment, the lotus thrives, a lesson in resilience. The lotus teaches us: 1. Suffering is a teacher. Embrace challenges as opportunities for growth, not victimhood. 2. Cultivate inner purity. Practice ethics, meditation, and wisdom to rise above worldly distractions. 3. Reject materialism. Just as the lotus thrives without artificial help, true happiness comes from within, not external possessions or status. 4. Embrace impermanence. Like a lotus that blooms and fades, accept change rather than resisting it. The lotus is more than mere flora. It is an archetype of human potential. It reminds us that even in the darkest circumstances, stagnant, muddy water equals suffering, we can rise above through moral discipline, wisdom, and resilience. As one modern Tibetan Buddhist master remarked, the lotus is the highest fruit of Buddhism. In the river of samsara, the cycle of birth and death, it stands for purity, grace, and the possibility of transcendence. And there is Goddess Lakshmi, the revered Hindu deity of wealth, fortune, beauty, power, and prosperity, who can be seen with a lotus flower in each hand while sitting upon a lotus. The lotus, dear friends, does not grow faster by fighting the mud. It grows stronger. in an era where engineered chaos seeks to drown us in fear and division, we must remember true growth comes from within. The sound of your own lotus blooming will be the sweetest symphony you will ever hear. Thank you so much, dear friends, for listening to the Naboy podcast. If you feel this could benefit anyone in any way, please do pass it along. I would be most grateful. Thank you for joining me, and take very good care of yourselves today and always. Radiate love, and remember, the joy, love, peace, and fulfillment we long for already exist, dwelling within and awaiting our discovery.